I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Ivy Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time to Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Victoria Kahn is the author of Rubylicious. She is the author-artist of the New York Times bestseller Peterific and four number one New York Times bestselling books, Aqualicious, Emeraldalicious, Silverlicious, and Goldilicious, all of which are next door in my daughter's room right now. She is the artist and co-author of the New York Times bestsellers Pinkalicious and Purplelicious, also next door. In addition, Victoria co-wrote Pinkalicious the Musical, which premiered in New York City to sold-out audiences, which I saw, and continues to be performed across the country. Victoria is the co-executive producer of Pinkalicious and Peterific on PBS Kids. Her award-winning artwork has graced the covers and pages of many magazines, newspapers, and books. She lives with her husband and two daughters. Welcome, Victoria. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Rubylicious and all your amazing-icious books.
Oh, thank you for having me. It is an incredible honor to be speaking with you. I'm a huge, huge fan of yours, and I love listening to your interviews. They're so stimulating and inspiring for me. So they're really great. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, I am such a huge fan of yours, and I am joined here by four girls. Two are mine, two are friends who are also fans of yours, and they're going to try to behave themselves.
No, but I'm not trying.
I have to say my older daughter who's here, I must have read her Pinkalicious
thousands of times.
Like, we read it a million times, and as each book came out, we were so excited, and we would always wonder what the next book, the color was going to be and everything. So this is such a thrill to welcome in Rubylicious, which is amazing.
A red color.
That's so nice. And it's really exciting when you start reading a book to your child. And then at a certain point, you realize they've memorized it, right? And I'm sure that happened. And then at another point, they start reading it to you. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It's such a great feeling as a
it's
parent.
Amazing. It's really amazing. So how did you start the series? What were you doing before you started the Pinkalicious series? And how did you come up with the whole thing?
So I was an editorial illustrator. I did covers for magazines and newspapers, for Harper's Magazine, for Business Week, for the New York Times, for all these publications, for Time Magazine and Newsweek. It was crazy deadlines. Literally, I would get a call from Time Magazine at 12 o'clock on a Friday, which is when I would teach. I taught at SVA. I was teaching my students at SVA. While they were working, I would give them an assignment. I would have to do sketches and fax them to, get them to Time Magazine and then have the finish by 5 o'clock for the messenger that would pick it up. So it was like crazy, crazy, crazy deadlines, which as a mother, you just can't do. Like there's no way. So when my daughter, Christina, was about 3 years old, and I wrote a bunch of children's book ideas, but when she was 3 years old, she was really, really into the color pink, really. And as you may remember from that stage, and she also really liked cupcakes. So I wrote Pinkalicious as an April Fool's Day joke. April Fool's Day is my favorite day of the year. And it's because you get to do, it's basically you make up stories and you try to convince people that they're true. At least that is for me. Like people are afraid of me on April Fool's Day because I always go above and beyond. And so I wrote it as a joke. I wrote this story and I sent it to all of my friends and family, and I saying that my daughter had turned pink from eating too many cupcakes, that she had pinkatitis. And I had a friend that was supposed to come over, and she called her doctor. They were going to have a play date. Our daughters were going to have a play date. She called her doctor and she's like, have you ever heard of pinkatitis? Because we're supposed to go over to somebody's house and my friend's daughter has it, and I don't want my daughter to get it. Is it contagious? And he said, I've never heard of it. You don't know if it's contagious. You shouldn't go. So my rule is never to tell anybody it's a joke until the next day. So Christina, my daughter, and I had even though she was three, we had quite a chuckle over that. And then the next day, you know, I was like, come on over, because it was just an April Fool's Day joke. And she happened to be a children's book author and illustrator. She said, you have got to make that into a children's book. So she really encouraged me. And that's how it happened. I was really, really lucky to find an amazing editor and publisher. And that was the beginning. I had no idea that it would go on.
Wow. That's so exciting. So were you surprised by the success? I mean, it took off, right? I mean, did it happen right away? I assume it did, but I don't know.
So my very first book signing was in New York City at Books of Wonder. And we were living there and my daughters were going to school, and I told everybody, but the line went all the way out and around the block. The book, it had just come out that week. And I was like, are these everybody that we know? Like, do we know everybody here? And, primarily we did. But that was just the beginning. And I remember I was so shy. I was so shy at the time. And I was like, wow, I have to read my book in front of all of these people. Like, can I do that?
Oh my gosh.
So it's been a huge growth experience in so many different ways.
Wow. I feel like the used to be shy, become a writer track is a well-paved road at this point. I think a lot of people who observe a lot become writers, and when they don't, just anecdotally, but...
No, it's true. You have to feel very comfortable spending long periods of time alone, especially because I do the artwork too. So the writing is actually the fastest process for me. It's the artwork that takes a really long time.
So how long does it take for you to write each one of these books?
Well, I'm always working on a lot of different stories. So for a book to come out, it can take years, you know, because I'll write the story, then I'll do a lot of drafts, and then I'll start creating the book dummy, and then I'll start creating the art. And, you know, so there's just a big long process. It can take years.
Wow. So does that mean you've already written the ones that are going to come out next?
Well, I don't know yet. You know, it all depends.
But you've written some. You just don't know what's next.
I have stories and I want them to come out.
Okay.
God willing, they will come out.
What are you ever going to run out of colors? No, it's impossible, right?
I think there are so many colors in the world. You know, I mean, I could do chartreuse delicious. That's a bit of a mouthful, wow. But hey,
chartreuse delicious. Chartreuse delicious.
What's chartreuse?
It's a color.
Yeah. It's a yellowy green.
It's all delicious.
Do you guys have suggestions for which book should come next?
Navy-licious.
You have a suggestion?
Navy-licious.
What about Black-licious? Like, because favorite color is black.
Yellow-licious.
White-licious.
Yellow-licious.
White-licious.
Oh, those are great ideas.
Wait, what about metallicious? Like metallic.
They have
gold. Silver.
Don't they have silver?
Bronze-alicious?
No, it's platinum.
Oh, yeah, I haven't said bronze.
Platinum-alicious?
Platinum.
Angelicious.
Orange-alicious.
The thing is, gold kind of goes in the yellow-orange category. But I love your
candy-licious.
Candy-licious.
Or cupcake-licious.
This is my cupcake-alicious book. It's a cupcake cookbook.
We have that. Yeah, we have that.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, Phoebe has. Yeah, she has that. Yeah, awesome. So great. So, does your daughter still read the books? She must be. You know, when did they start coming out? What year was that?
Oh gosh, when was it? It's been 15 years since the first one was published. So, my daughters really, really helped me with every time I write a story. As a matter of fact, my husband said at dinner the other day, well, is this going to be a work dinner or is this going to be a dinner? Because, you know, and especially with their friends, like they're my focus group. So I'll sit down and I'm like, do you mind if I just read a story and you can tell me what you think? And yeah, they're very helpful. And so many of the stories have been inspired by them, you know, Silverlicious, where Pinkalicious loses her sweet tooth, was really inspired by my daughter because she came up to me and she said, Mommy, my sweet tooth came out.
Oh,
won't you give me something sweet to eat? And I was like, oh, well, that's a great idea. Don't you know sweetness comes from the inside? And I had to go sit down and write that story.
Oh my gosh. So what inspired Rubylicious?
Well, Rubylicious, you know, my daughters really love the color red. So they were like, what are you going to do for red? And I have to tell you, I really love rocks and I love collecting rocks. So, you know, and I love finding rocks and I love the whole idea of wishes as well, you know? So it's kind of a genie book, but it's not a genie book because I say it's a genius book because, you know, Pinkalicious finds a rock and she rubs it. And out comes this character named Rocky, and Rocky grants them one wish, but only one wish. So unlike a genie that would grant many wishes, and Pinkalicious and Peter, she have to weigh their options wisely. Rocky is very fearful, has a lot of anxiety, you know, and it's like, I don't know if you want to wish for that. Like that really is not going to be a very good idea. You're wishing for a mountain of candy. You know, at one point, Pinkalicious and Peter are like, let's have a lot of candy. And Rocky's like, I think that would be a bad wish. Let me show you what that wish would look like. And so they have the opportunity to experience all these different wishes before they actually come true. So they get, you know, a bunch of opportunities, and Rocky is like frightened throughout the entire wishing process. So, you know, it kind of leads them on this adventure to thinking about what in their wildest dreams could come true and what's really, really important. And in the end, they're very generous with their wish. And you know, whenever I do a book, I always think, what would be the most fun? You know, what would be really great? I always think, what would be the greatest thing ever? Right? Like with Aqualicious, it's like, you know, meeting a mermaid, but not just any kind of mermaid, a mermini, like a, it's almost like a doll come to life, like a one that you could play with all day, you know, or what is it that you really wish for in life? I'm always thinking about that. What is it that you really want in life? What would be really fun? So I do ask myself that question constantly. I think it's a really good question.
How do you answer that?
I answer it in over 70 books. It changes every day. So like every book represents an answer to that question. You know, like this one just came out, which is Robopup. So, you know, wouldn't you want a robotic puppy?
Totally. Sure. Right? Why not?
I think it's a puppy in here somewhere. But.
So what would be your wish today? Anything could make, what could make your life better today? That would be the greatest thing ever.
Well, it's talking to you.
Oh, there you go.
What would your wish for today be?
Zibbylicious, perhaps. My wish for today would be, I guess, that all these kids would continue to get along in my house with a million kids over here. Yeah. I would say good mood-alicious or something, or
yeah.
friend-alicious, something like that.
Fun-alicious.
Fun-alicious, yeah.
Hey, we just did it. We just came up with an idea for the next one.
There we go, yeah. Puppy-licious. Amazing. So you've met, I'm sure, thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids at this point. What have you learned from them? Like, what were you surprised at? What are some of the questions that you've been asked? Like, what is it to have your finger sort of on the pulse of little tiny kids today?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, "Well, what should I spend my 2 cents on?" Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Well, first of all, it is the greatest experience I've ever had in my life, to be honest. When I did editorial illustration, I would do it and it would kind of go into this world of adults. And maybe once in a while, I would get some feedback like, "Great illustration about how, you know, we shouldn't be eating that fish that has mercury," you know, like that would be the feedback that I would get. That was a real illustration, by the way. And so when I started doing work with kids, it was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced, because kids connect with words, they connect with visuals, and they're so expressive of their emotions. I mean, they let me know what it is that they like and why they like it and how it affects them. And so it's really fun for me. It's very joyful for me to experience kids, and especially like in a group where they're exuberant and they're talking about things that they love. I've never experienced anything like it. It's so miraculous to me. And they've inspired me in so many different ways. I mean, Emerald Delicious came about because I was at a book signing, and all these kids were like, you should do a book about the color green, and you should do one about, you know, the environment. And I was like, okay, well, let me think, like, what would that mean for Pinkalicious? Like, what's important to Pinkalicious? So that book was actually inspired by kids. And then also when I began to think about it, so I grew up in Brooklyn, and down in Dumbo, there was a city garbage dump. And all the kids in my neighborhood used to sneak into this little section of the fence and climb all over it. And they filmed Kojak, this old TV show there. Yeah. I mean, it was like the worst, unsafe, most unsafe place ever. You know, broken glass, rats all over, you know, homeless people. Like, it was bad. And we would sneak in, and we would, you know, one of my friends found an old Wall Street sign. Like, it was a treasure trove, but it was a disgusting dump. And I would always look at it and say, gosh, wouldn't this be great if this was a park? Like, this should be a park. This would be really fun. We have nowhere to play. This needs to be a park. Well, now there's a carousel there. It's a park. It's an incredible park down under the Brooklyn Bridge where you walk, and it's beautiful. So that's a real life miracle that happened. So I thought about that, and I thought about that in terms of Emerald Delicious. Like, Pinkalicious would want to turn something into a beautiful, sparkly garden that, you know, sparkled like an emerald. So kids always ask amazing questions, and they always give me great ideas.
So do you ever worry about, like, you seem so, you like manifest all of these childlike exuberance, like that's in your personality, you can tell, right? So do you ever have a really bad day or a bad mood, and you're about to do something related to the book, and you're not feeling very Pinkalicious at all? Or, you know what I mean?
Yes. I wrote a story recently. And that was part of the dinner table discussion. And I, you know, it was a Pinkalicious story, an idea for an early reader, one of the early reader stories. And I brought it up at the dinner table, and everybody just kind of stared at me. And they were like, Mom, like, what was that about? Like, where did that come from? Like that. And I was like, Yeah, you're right. That would be something else. Yeah, I guess I just had to write it down and get it out of my system, you know. And I do fantasize about that, but I think I would get really bummed out and really depressed if I was writing. I'm very emotional, right? So as much as I'm laughing, like, I also cry a lot. Like, if I watch commercials, I will cry. So if I wrote sad stories, I would be in a perpetual state of teariness. Like, I would just be crying all the time, which would not really be good for me, you know. So I've got to do, or if I wrote horror, oh my God, I would be just afraid constantly. So no, this is much healthier for me.
It's true. There's some children's books, no matter how many times I've read them, I cry every time. I can tell you, like, where on the page, it always makes me cry. So just to put myself in the shoes of that author, right, to have to read, maybe it doesn't trigger the same author the same way, but some of these books about growing up and waving goodbye and, you know, the kids, I mean, they just tug at the heartstrings. It's like crazy, but...
I do have to say, I cried a lot when I wrote Purplicious. I was actually sobbing because it's a really difficult, you know, Pinkalicious is suddenly, and this happened for real for my daughter. She was in school and the kids made fun of her for liking the color pink. And I was really heartbroken to hear this. So I wrote that story, and it's all about Pinkalicious coming to terms with having the courage to stand up for what she believes in when everybody else likes the color black. You know, everybody else doesn't like that color. They all like, can Pinkalicious stand up for herself and say, this is what I like? So I do have to say I did cry a lot during that. And so it was hard for me.
I like how in that book, though, you have her cope by writing. I mean, she keeps that diary in Purplicious, right? Unless I'm mixing up the books. But,
no, you're right.
Right? So she writes how she feels about the color Monday and Tuesday. And you see her like coping through writing. So I liked that.
Yeah, you got to get it out of your system. I mean, it's true. It is so true. Even though I write these happy stories, like I said, I do write down things because I just have to get it out of my, I don't want anybody to read it, please. Yeah. I need to get it out of my system.
So what advice would you have? So many people say, like, I want to write a children's book, or I have an idea for a children's book. And I actually do have a children's book coming out myself, as I told you.
Congratulations. I'm so excited for you.
I know. I really
that
am.
Is so wonderful. And I can't wait to read it. What's it about?
But mine came about in such a random way. It's called Princess Charming, and it's about a girl who can't seem to find her thing and kind of lives in her older brother's shadow. And then eventually she realizes that she's known her thing all along. So
that's good. Message. And what a great title, too. I think that's wonderful.
But I started it because my editor came to me and showed me a picture of this illustration and said, okay, well, would you be interested in writing a book? If this girl was named Princess Charming, what would the book even be about? And I was like, oh, yeah, let me think about it. And then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, okay, here's what it would be about. And she was like, great.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's how it came to be.
I love your editor.
Crazy. Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's amazing. I adore her. But all to say, a million people ask me like, what do you do? Like, how do you sell a children's book? Because any parent who's reads to their kids every night ends up with ideas of their own. So what would you tell them? Like, what advice would you have?
Well, first of all, the most important thing for moms is you have to be a careful custodian of your time.
Mm.
And that's a quote from another writer. Another writer wrote, you have to be, and I don't remember who, but she said, you have to be a careful custodian of your time. And it resonated with me because we all take care of everybody else, right? We're constantly thinking about, like, here you are, you're tired of me, you're working, your kids are having a play date in the background, you're worried, are they going to have a good play date? And then you're also probably thinking, what am I going to do? You know, like, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? You know, what am I going to do tonight? You're thinking about all of these things while you're talking to me. So, and maybe in the back of your mind too, you're thinking, can I get a chance to sit down and write a little bit, you know? So I think the number one thing is to just force yourself to sit down and make the time for yourself and let everything else go to hell. It's okay. So the other thing I have to say is, and this is in terms of everything going to hell, is make a mess. We are also afraid to make a mess. And the creative process is messy. It really is. It means if you're writing something, you might be looking at 1,000 books. You know, you might be looking at 1,000 pieces of artwork. You might have scribbles all over. You know, you might have papers everywhere. Just do not be afraid to make a mess. Leave it. Allow it. It's okay. It is fine. So I think that's the two most important things that I can say. Just allow a mess, because in your head, it's organized. Out here, it might not be. It's fine.
I love that. That's so great. And there are certainly a lot of messes displayed in the pages of many of your books, which I'll get, you know.
I'm always trying. It's funny because for the TV show, Pinkalicious and Peterific, when we work on episodes, I'm always like, this should be like the messiest room ever. Like this should be just totally trashed. And like, it should be so messy. And then the animators are always like, well, Victoria, that's a lot of work. And we actually have to create that. And we actually have to then clean that up, you know, because they're making everything move. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, like three things, yeah. Can you put three things up?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, Victoria, this has been so nice. Thank you for indulging me at the start by having all these random kids, two of mine and many others included in this that like made their day. And thank you for seriously the hours and hours and hours of time I've spent collectively reading all these books to so many of my kids. So I just, thank you for enhancing my time with them over the years. And
oh, you're wonderful. It's truly a pink of pleasure. It really is. Thank you. You're clearly readerific mom.
Oh, thank you. A readerific mom. That is the highest praise.
Use the pinkalicious vernacular.
I love that. All right. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. You. And we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.